I'd like you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 as we close with a few minutes of Bible study tonight before we go. And I want to thank you for the testimony. Great, great story, Melinda, of what God's doing in your life. Thanks for sharing that with us tonight. College students, we're going to be praying for college students Sunday morning. And there's going to be hundreds probably there that we'll be praying over. And thank you for your willingness to adopt a college student, maybe once a month or weekends or something, just get together with them. You don't even have to spend lots of money on them, just loving them. My daughter, I have two daughters now in college, and my youngest daughter just graduated high school, Angela. And since she started in the last week and a half, she's had six or eight kids over three different times to our house, which is 20 minutes away from the college. And overheard one of the girls say the other day, they said, yeah, they were telling us at Evangel, we should sign up for adopt-a-parents, for the adopt-a-student program. And she said, I don't think we need that. We got the Bradfords. So, okay. So I thought this was going to be empty nest, and we've seen we've been busier than when we just had. Anyway, and I was talking to, Dan and Sherry Klopine. Dan's one of our board members, and Dan and Sherry said, "Yeah, a few years ago we started. Their son was a college student. Started bringing kids over. They said, now because you don't have to do this. Neither do you have to have eight kids over, at least once or twice a week like we're experiencing right now. But Dan and Sherry prepares Sunday noon dinner for about 18 students every Sunday. They have this house, and they pack it full of students. And it used to be, a year or two ago, it was like 8 or 9. Now it's up to 18. Who knows what it'll be this year. I have faith for 25. But hallelujah. Don't tell them that, though. So, thanks. We are in the middle of chapter 11 of Hebrews, and we have come to Moses. There are five ways in which faith affected the way Moses lived and acted. And I think the biggest, broadest, most singular thing you could say about faith in Moses' life, overarching all of these five different elements, is that faith detached Moses from his world, from the security of this world, from the approval of this world, detached him from the obstacles that this world poised before him in terms of the purposes of God that were destined to work through him. Faith, simply, because it looks into the invisible realm. Faith is the substance of things not seen. The evidence, substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Paul says, therefore, we walk by faith and not by what? Sight. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Moses, of all of these faith heroes, just exemplifies what it means to see past what's seen into the unseen. And in a sense, as I've studied Moses' life, faith gives us a dare. It just dares us to live as if God's real. It dares us not to be stymied, limited by, or pinned down with the visible realm that's all around us. It dares us to live above it in confidence to God. And so these five elements in verses 24 through verse 28, these five elements of faith that are identified in Moses' life. It keeps saying, by faith, Moses did this and that and that. I've used the word dares, D-A-R-E-S, to kind of outline those five areas. D for first of all, for destiny and determining your destiny. Destiny that has to do with our potential in God. And by faith, verse 24 says, verse 23 says, by faith Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith saw past baby boys being killed by a cruel king in the Nile River. Faith saw past just this being another ordinary baby boy. Faith saw the destiny and potential. Faith saw something that defied the odds and the circumstances, humanly speaking, and his life was saved. There was an operation of faith that even covered Moses' life because of his parents right at the beginning of his life. And so we looked at that last week. And then last week we looked at the heir. A, faith not only helps us to decide on destiny, but faith helps us to accept self-discipline. And that's the A of dares. Accept self-discipline. The next, by verse 24, by faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. No man or woman of God of faith is exempted from the testing grounds of flesh over the kind of faith that causes you to say no to your flesh, to say no to your desires, to accept self-discipline, to delay personal gratification, to keep out of our lives sin for a season, sin that brings me short-term immediate gratification. I sat with a wonderful man of God who just leads many, 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 many people over lunch today, and he's a little older than me, but he said, Jim, I kept thinking that temptations diminish, you know, the longer you go. And he's given his life to ministry around our world. And he said, I'm just finding they're getting worse. But that's how God, you know, that's a testing ground. And faith sees past what I want right now, sees past my hormones and past the cravings of my flesh, and is willing to actually accept self-discipline rather than indulging in sin for a season. He chose to be mistreated. He chose the uncomfortableness over the comfort short term of sin. Faith, I want to tell you, as you grow in faith, faith can help you to say yes to righteousness and no to iniquity. And we got to never, never abandon or get careless with the fight of saying no to the flesh and yes to the Spirit of God who's crucified sin in the flesh in our lives. And then D for determine your destiny. Faith, by faith, they determined that Moses had a destiny. By faith, he accepted A, self-discipline. R, by faith, Moses redefined his worth. He didn't let material wealth define his worth. And so there in verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. This is where we left off last Wednesday night. To redefine your value and your worth. My worth is not in people's approval. He regarded disgrace. Disgrace means you don't have people's approval. You have people's shaming activity towards you. But he valued that more than any. He valued God's approval more than any approval of men. And he regarded disgrace for the sake and honor of Christ to be even more valuable than all the treasures of Egypt. Do you realize he was saying to be shamed as a follower of God is more value in God's sight than the value of the accumulated wealth of the greatest kingdom of his day? And I want to tell you, you got to redefine your worth and faith will do it for you. Faith seems past your bank account. It seems past people's opinion of you. Faith sees into the invisible and surpasses what's seen, and therefore frees you and detaches you from this world. That's as far as we went last week. Lord willing, we'll just get the last two. We're now up to E in the word dare. Faith dares us to live unattached to this world and to see past its pitfalls and its deceptions. And faith will cause us to endure the opposition that comes, to endure the opposition. So verse 27, by faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because, in this remarkable, unbelievable statement, because he saw him who is invisible. I absolutely love that. That has got to be one of my favorite phrases in the entire 11th chapter of Hebrews. He He endured the opposition. He did not fear the king's wrath, but he persevered. Do you realize part of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life is just give you stick-to-itiveness? So you don't collapse in fear. You're not running for your life. You just endure and persevere. Why? What is greater than fear? It's faith. What trumps fear? It's faith. I love that little thing. I think some people, it's a little poem some people have hanging on their walls in their homes. It says fear one day knocked on the door, and faith got up to answer, and there was no one there. Fear knocked on the door, but faith got up to answer, and there was no one there. Fear is trumped by faith. He didn't give place to fear, but faith made him hold steady. He didn't fear the king's wrath, but he persevered instead. Because, why? Because he saw more than a human king. He saw the king who's invisible. Now that doesn't even make sense. He saw him who is invisible. How can you do that? Except he's talking the spiritual eyesight of faith. He lived as if what's invisible is more real than what's visible. He saw him. He chose to look at him. He didn't sit there lying in his bed at night, tossing and turning, worried that the king doesn't like him and is out to get him. No, but he focused. This is the fight of faith. You constantly refocus on him who's invisible. And you do not dwell on the things that give you fear. You constantly refocus on the one who is seen only in the invisible realm. And you hold your ground. This is Ephesians 6. Standing your ground in the spiritual battle, lifting the shield of faith, having done all to stand. Faith causes us to focus on him who is invisible and not the visible things that would scare the living daylights out of us. And we stand our ground, and having done all, we stand in the spiritual conflict because he saw him who is invisible. God, give us spiritual eyes. We sang tonight, come Holy Spirit, we need you. If I understand right, the night before Jesus was betrayed around that Passover dinner, he said to his disciples, I'm going to be going, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send you the Paraclete, the one called alongside. And he is going to lead you into all truth. And he's going to take the things of me, and he's going to make them real to you. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit can help you see him who's invisible. And when we're filled with the Spirit, we say, God, just help me to keep my eyes on you. You know, many of us grew up singing that song, turn your eyes upon Jesus. I don't think you can do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can help to turn our eyes on him who is physically invisible, but is more real than anything visible you see. God help us, amen? To live as if we see him who's invisible. To live as if he really did rise from the dead. To live as if there is a God in heaven and he does love us. To actually live as if that is true. Not to live as if everybody's out to get you and you probably won't make it. You don't live because of those seen, visible obstacles. You live because in the invisible realm, there's somebody who really is your God. Hallelujah. And then S of the word dares. Faith dares us to live beyond what's seen. S invites us to seek his grace, verse 28. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. Passover later came to refer to a feast that would remember that first passing over of God's judgment. We love to say that when we meet Jesus, we are saved. We are saved. Well, what are you saved from? A bad day? You know, are you saved from a bad hair day? Are you saved from someone not liking you? No. Very simply, we all were objects of God's divine wrath. We all deserved it. We deserved the judgment of God. But God, through the covering of Jesus' blood, covering or atonement or covering, through the covering of Jesus' blood, God's wrath and judgment has passed over us because we've been covered by the shed blood of Jesus at the cross. And we are saved from his judgment and held for his favor and his grace. Just think, saved from judgment and sealed by the Holy Spirit for favor and grace. And it's all because Jesus' blood on the cross covers us. And the Old Testament physical picture of that was when the last of the tenth judgment came on Egypt, which had yet to let Israel, their slaves, go. And Moses was asked to do something that I'm sure, number one, was not easy for a poverty-stricken slave race. And they had to find enough lambs to kill. And then they had to do the bizarre thing of splattering the blood of those lambs over the top and sides of their doors, representing the entrance places into their homes. Because that night, the angel of death was going to come, and the firstborn in every house not covered with the blood would be killed under the judgment of God. And over the very physical picture of the entry place into the dwelling of those Israelites, blood of a sacrificed lamb that had given up its life was placed. And everywhere that the blood was, the judgment of God passed over. Hallelujah. And it was that incredible, incredible picture of why we can pray with confidence tonight. Because of the shed blood of Jesus, we have a red carpet into God's presence. Why? Because his judgment, everything that would keep us distant from him, in his ear deaf to us, has passed over us because we've been covered with his blood. We are now candidates not of his judgment, but of his favor. He never acts towards us anymore as if we've sinned because the blood has covered all of that. And he acts towards us as if we've been passed over of judgment and only have grace and favor when we walk under his blood. Isn't that wonderful? And I want to tell you, by faith, that's why Paul would say, for it is through grace, by faith, that you've been saved. It's the grace that works by faith. By faith, we realize that something passes over us of judgment and something comes to us of grace because the blood has been shed. And in a sense, he calls us into the greatest, largest participation of the grace of Jesus we could ever know. To say, you know what, by faith, he kept the Passover. You know how we keep the Passover? We keep the Passover when we come to the cross and when we confess our sin and we ask him to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us from most of our unrighteousness and just leaves us mildly guilty so that God can kind of dangle us and keep us in our place and make us never spiritually confident. He just forgives by and large most of our sin, and he retains the rest to manipulate us and make us feel defeated and never feel confident to have authority in Jesus' name ever. He just to dangle us. Now, what I just preached is heresy, judging by the direction some of your heads are moving. Hallelujah. For the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all righteousness. And he brings all righteousness to us. We are clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's why it was so important that Christ never sinned, because we now have all righteousness, having been forgiven from all unrighteousness. That's why we stand confident in the Lord tonight. I'm not confident in me. I'm not impressed with me, but I'm impressed with the blood of Jesus, who has made my past irrelevant to what he wants to do in my life today. I am cleansed by his blood, and faith seems past my failure. Faith seems past my still measure of spiritual immaturity, because I'm still trying to grow. Faith seems past my past, sees past my past failures and washes them over by his blood. And faith observes the Passover. Faith comes under the blood so that I can stand confident. We can pray with authority. We cannot walk around with spiritual insecurity. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Faith looks past me and sees the blood and walks in confidence. Hallelujah. Will you stand with me? Lord, we just want to love you for that. We want to thank you for that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for faith that sees past, Lord, the threats to our potential, that sees past the temptations to satisfy ourselves with sin right now. Faith that seems past the worth of our world to see your ultimate reward. Faith that sees past fear so that we can persevere and endure. And faith that sees past our sin to see your blood shed, to see you passing over and bringing us life. And we thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 Jesus. We praise you for it.